We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is Kits and Wagers. I'm Adam Zdroik, joined by Chris Owen to talk game week 32 in the Premier League. Give a few bets. Chris, last week went, it didn't go so well, but we're not even going to talk about last week. We're starting a little later again. Chris, you had to come through some traffic, but you made it. You're here. Good evening. Good afternoon. It's only 6:30 by you, but what's going on?
Adam, good to be back. As you said, we're 6:30 local, 9:30 for you. So I appreciate you sticking around here and putting in the late shift. We're back after a tough week last week. Yeah. It's if it was 9:30 for me, I'd be like, all right, we can do this later or tomorrow. But yeah, we're back. We had a tough week last week, but back again. We got a good batch of matches here. I think is it only 7 matches for the weekend? Eight matches for the weekend.
Arsenal is on Friday. That's why.
Oh right, and then we have 2 FA Cup semis, one on Saturday, one on Sunday. So a lot of football, soccer to talk about here. And we're just coming off a big week at the Champions League semis. I think we're getting just an incredible semi matchups between Man City and Real Madrid. You know, Man City pressing for that Champions League final, that first one. And Real Madrid, of course, the title holders, and they've got all the pedigree in the world in that competition. And then we get an all Milan semifinal. So, and then I did see, I didn't watch the match today, but I did see that Manchester United lost 3-0, I think. I saw a couple of highlights of the goals, and just David De Gea, you know, had looked really strong for a long time, and then looked really, really not strong today. So, big week of soccer, and we are back with our bets after a weekend to forget last weekend.
A little bit. I tried to redeem myself in the middle of the week with some corner bets and Champions League. If you follow me at Roto's Drake, I've been doing this thing. Well, I just started it on Tuesday. My idea was start with the $10 bet and then just keep letting it ride into the weekend, because I think we have 6 straight days of soccer. Well, I mean, there's pretty much soccer every day, but in terms of soacker that I want to bet on, there is like 6 straight days from Tuesday to Sunday. And my strategy was start with $10 and keep going and keep letting that ride. Unfortunately, it ended today. I hit Tuesday. I hit both Champions League matches, and I looked at the Europa League games for a little too long, and I ended on Jose Mourinho's Roma team to get more corners in the first half. It was just like a stupid bet that I should have probably taken full time, I guess, when I think about it now. And I also looked at Sevilla against Manchester United, but it was like a bet where Roma had a corner in the first half, didn't have another corner, and then Feyenoord had a couple later in the first half. And then Roma finished with like 8 total, and Feyenoord had like 4 total or something stupid like that. But I'm gonna keep doing so. This is kind of what I'm getting at. I'm gonna start again tomorrow. Start with actually, I don't know what size it's gonna be tomorrow, because I want a few bucks in DFS, so I might let that ride as well. In terms of another, these are all gonna be corner bets as well. So if you don't bet corner bets, then don't bother with this. But Chris, this is also beers and wagers here. So I was thinking as we started here, if we have another bad week of beers and wagers, we might just have to end it at two beers and wagers. But
yeah, we were certainly lost in the sauce last Thursday on our bets. New hour. This is a whole new hour. I don't think we through two seasons of doing this show, we had never done a Thursday night, I don't think, let alone a beers and wagers. So if we come back next week and come back with a similar record, or it can't get much worse, so I won't say or worse, then we might have to cut beers and wagers, and we're going to go back to Cup of Joe's and wagers. Joe's and wagers. So
yeah. So what are you drinking today?
So I'm back. Got the frosty mug. It's less frosty now because I poured the beer a slight bit ago. But same beer as last week here. I'm a big fan of it. I think I got one more left. It was a 12-pack of the Session Lager out of Hood River, Oregon. I actually have a pretty good selection here, but these are a nice Thursday podcast beer. You know, nothing too crazy, nice and light. Good beer to drink.
I mix it up a little bit.
What do you got?
It's got a white chocolate blonde here from Grand Armory up in Grand Haven, Michigan.
Nice.
It's blonde, it's light, it's a little chocolatey. So
wow. So
different, but 9:30, so I get a little dessert in my beer kind of thing. But it's not that sweet. It's not one of those sweet pastry beers or anything like that. So it tastes like a blonde ale, I'll say, with a touch of chocolate.
Nice. It's not often you can blend a blonde and a chocolate, but we love to see that.
Yeah. So if you're watching on YouTube or Twitter, I got the records page up. And as I noticed here, well, I'll say the records here. I'm 56 and 28. Chris is 41, 38 and 2. And we're still up $738 on our team parlay. But I was noticing here, there's one team that either of us still have zero losses on the season. And I'm 5-0 betting Brentford matches this season. So. A lot of pressure riding in this one because the first game we're talking about, Brentford, Aston Villa. Let's have a look. Brentford are home, and they are slightly favored here. You can get plus 155 odds, and as you can see in this line movement, if you're watching, Brentford used to be plus 125 11 days ago. Now they're plus 155. A lot of Aston Villa love is coming here. Aston Villa plus 185. The draw is plus 240. And over 2.5 goals is plus 100. Under 2.5 goals is minus 120. So are you buying this Aston Villa love after last week? I'd say maybe one of the more, I don't know if I was surprising, maybe one of the most impressive wins of the season. Aston Villa just torched. They ran over Newcastle, and both our bets lost in that one.
Yeah, that was pretty unexpected. I think that was the very early game, so I caught the highlights basically at the end there. And 3-0, unexpected for Newcastle. Both teams, as I think we mentioned in the show last week, have been really strong. Two of the best teams as of late, and I think Newcastle had won 4 straight prior to that meeting, and Aston Villa was coming off 5 straight. Aston Villa, super impressive, pushing for a spot in European competition next season. They have won 7 of their last 8 matches, with the other one being a draw. And then, traveling to Brentford here, so I'm a little weary of, going straight up Aston Villa money line. I think, what did we say, it was plus 185 away from home. Right around there. And so a little weary of that, despite the recent form. I mean, Ollie Watkins has been just crushing it for them. But here we have a Brentford side who are decent at home. I think they just have 2 losses at home overall, and typically play a team pretty tough. I'm going to steer away from taking a team outright, but I do like the fact that this game seems like it's destined for like a 2-1 or something like that. So I actually looked at you mentioned the over 2.5 was plus 100. You love to see a nice plus 100 on 2.5, which is it's usually not the case. You're not getting plus odds on any of those over 2.5. So kind of that was intriguing for me, but I'm going to open it up a little bit. I guess you could say open it up or close it up, but I like the total goal bans. I've you know, found those later in the season. I've kind of been going back to those, but this feels like a 2-1 or a 2-0 or a, you know, 1-1, something like that. So I'm actually going to take a two to three goal band. It's at what did I say? It was at +100 as well. So you go either way, and probably if you think it's going to be a 2-1, you could double down and go both. But I just think that both these teams. Part of me wants to take Villa just to ride the hot hand, but I just think Brentford at home makes me a little weary. Of course, they played earlier in the season. This was at Villa Park. That game was 4-0. And then last season, when they both played each other, it was 1-1 at Villa Park, and then Brentford actually won the match that was at home 2-1. So a little bit more of context there. But yeah, I'm thinking this is a 2-3 goal bands. That's what I'm going to stick with at the +100. I feel like you are a Thomas Frank supporter overall. Like you like what he's done at the club. You like the brand. Are you budging on anything on a Brentford bet here or a Brentford money line bet or anything like that?
Before I get into that, well, did you know Aston Villa are sixth in the table right now?
I do. Yeah, they're pushing for European places right now. As I mentioned,
it just caught me by surprise. I was like, wait a minute, they're like 16th a little bit ago.
I mean, I've been counting every single match that, you know, where can points above Liverpool?
Yeah, I where was can they say, drop points? As like, a Liverpool so that, fan, you probably know this.
So. Yeah. So like Brighton, Aston Villa, Tottenham, Newcastle, Man United, you know, where are they dropping points? So yeah, so I'm aware.
It just caught me off guard because if you remember, which you probably don't, we did a futures bet at the beginning of the season, and one of my bets was Aston Villa top 10. I thought it was dead a couple months ago, and I just it's looking good now. So there you go.
It's looking like it might cash.
Yeah. So Brentford, you're correct in my feelings about Brentford, especially playing at home. I am a little worried about some of the results here. They have 2 points from the last 5 matches.
Yeah.
You look at that Newcastle game, maybe they should have got a point out of that one. They end up losing that one 2-1. You kind of look at the recent Brentford results, and then you look at the recent Aston Villa results, and that's kind of why Brentford's getting money. So, you know, if it was a situation where Brentford was, if they weren't coming off a loss against Wolverhampton, where I think they gave up like 9 shots on target. I know that was away from home, but it's a little worrying. I'd say, especially when it just seems like Unai Emery is really like, he loves his team. He's dealing with a bunch of injuries, but they're still figuring it out no matter what's going on. As you can see, like Leander Dendonker started last match. I don't know how many starts he has. Maybe it was his first start of the season. Started against Wolverhampton last weekend. Newcastle last weekend. Didn't matter. So just throwing in this central midfielder who's barely played the last 2 seasons, and they still controlled Newcastle. So that is kind of worrying here, but I still ride with Brentford at home. And while I'm not going to take them to win or something like that, I will take them on a corner bet because that's – that's how I roll. So Brentford, I always say Brentford at home, Thomas Frank coming off 3 straight losses. He's going to have his guys revved up. They're going to be attacking from the start. So in Aston Villa, while it kind of screwed me last week, usually they aren't a team that, you know, dominates possession and gets a ton of corners. So Brentford minus half a corner in the first half, -110. All they need to do is have more corners than Aston Villa, and this bet wins. And playing at home, I think Brentford are going to come out, and they're going to try and get an early goal. We'll see if they actually can score it or not. But what do you think?
Yeah, super. I'm the more we talk about it, I'm a little more interested in actually Villa. Of the 3 of the 7 wins that they've gotten in this like little streak of 8 matches unbeaten, 3 of them have been away. They beat Everton 2-0. Away, they beat Chelsea 2-0 away, and they beat Leicester City 2-1 away. So it's like they've beaten through. It's not like all, you know, it's not like all of those wins were at home in this recent streak. They've proven that they can get it done. I mean, Chelsea, yes, they're struggling mightily, but I mean, that's a tough place to go and win at. Everton away, I mean, say what you will, but that they're going to pack it in, and that's tough to break down. And then Leicester City, I mean, that's kind of not surprising result there, but still, you're traveling away, and I don't know. I'm intrigued by this money line, and I'm not taking it for my bet, but I kind of lean that way a little bit more with Brent, the way that Brentford's been playing.
Yeah, one thing I've liked to say under Unai Emery is that, well, prior to the Newcastle game, is that Aston Villa was actually a better team away from home, which kind of didn't make sense. Yeah. But, I mean, as you're saying, they have one loss in their last 8 away matches, which is, you know, it's why they're 6th in the table right now. That loss was at Manchester City. So that is, I mean, if that's why Aston Villa is getting money. So,
yeah,
I probably say – I do six like wins, the 1-1, 2-1 result for either side, though. So
yeah.
I like the
six 2-3 wins, goals. Three draws, six losses away from home. Pretty impressive stuff from Aston Villa.
Yeah, and they play like a weird brand of – to me it's not weird, but it's just not like a – they play differently. Emery has them playing kind of like a little differently every game depending on opponent. And, I mean, it's all Emery, I think. Sure, Ollie Watkins is rolling, but I mean, Ollie Watkins wasn't very good the first half of the season. He wasn't playing this well last season either, and now he's just cruising, scoring a goal every game. So you got to attribute a lot of that to what Unai Emery has brought to the team. So,
yeah, totally.
Next match we got Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace, speaking of revived teams, Crystal Palace, was it 3 straight wins under Roy Hodgson? They're home against Everton. Crystal Palace are +110 to win. Everton +280 to win. Draw is +230. And then we got over 2.5 goals, +135. Under 2.5 is -170. So goals are not expected in this game. But I will say here, as we look at the injury report, Doucouré is suspended again. Onana missed out last week. James Garner, I think he got his first start of the season last week. Basically, Everton's midfield has looked really bad the last 2 weeks. Doucouré is suspended again. We don't know if Onana is going to be ready to start. So if both those guys are out again, I would lean heavily towards Crystal Palace just winning this game. So definitely keep an eye on the injury situation. Also, Seamus Coleman is still out as well. We'll see who starts at right back. I believe it was Ben Godfrey that started there. We'll see if he's actually healthy. He picked up some kind of, I think he was subbed off for a concussion like symptoms. It could be Nathan Patterson there, but what are you thinking for this one? Everton just, I mean, lost, gave up some bad goals against Fulham last week, and Crystal Palace cruising to some extent. Crystal Palace's only home match under Roy Hodgson was the Leicester City game, in which he had 31 shots and allowed 3 shots. Take it away, Chris.
What an interesting matchup. How have things changed? I mean, Everton's been poor all season. Crystal Palace are under the Roy revival right now. I'm going to get right into my bet, but the over 2.5 is +135. Am I just a fool for thinking that like that should be like a closer to +100? I mean, you look at – all right, so yes, 2-0 against Southampton for Crystal Palace last match out, but they beat Leeds 5-1 away at Leeds at Elland Road, and then they beat Leicester City that match where it was 2-1. Prior to that, they lost to Arsenal 4-1. It's just like they've been involved in a lot of games with goals, and then you kind of look across and – yeah, last match out for Everton was 3-1. It's like this is, in my mind, that's a pretty similar matchup in terms of quality. You know, Crystal Palace and Fulham, pretty similar teams in quality. And, you know, and then you even go back and you look at the previous results. I was like, does this seem like a dumb bet as I was looking at the over 2.5? And I look back and they played earlier this season in October. Everton won that one 3-0. That seems like that never happened, but apparently it did. And then last season, there was a Everton won 3-2. That was at Goodison. And then the season before they played, excuse me, this was all last season. This is the FA Cup. Crystal Palace won 4-0 at Sellers Park. And then the next matchup was 3-1. So all those matches are over 2.5 goals. There's been 16 goals in the past 4 matches between these two teams. Crystal Palace are kind of filling it up. I mean, Southampton was always going to be sit back and play defensively, so a 2-0 result is good for Palace either way. But I I thought about this bet right away because it was like plus 135 on a two over 2.5. You might as well go for it, even if it is Everton and Crystal Palace. And then I looked at Crystal Palace money line. They're playing well. They won three straight. They're playing, if I correct me, they're playing at home, right?
Crystal Palace are home, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like plus 110, plus odds at home. Kind of intriguing there. And then, you know, the fact that it's an over 2.5. I don't know. I'm not into Everton at all in this game, and I'm interested if you're going to devil's advocate me here, or if you think that Crystal Palace is really the way to go in this game. I mean, you're probably going over on a corners bet, but we got to get your take at least on who you expect to win it, or who you think should perform a little bit better.
I think this is a trap. This is a trap line. Over 2.5 goals at plus 135. The last time Everton didn't allow two goals away from home was December 31st against Manchester City. That's 7 matches away from home. They've allowed at least 2 goals. As I said, they have the injury issues in the midfield, and they've looked really bad the last 2 games, allowing massive mistakes, which have led to goals. I mean, I guess maybe it's the okay, Crystal Palace win it like 2-0 or something, or 1-0. The odds point to the plus 110 here. It does seem hard to take. So it does feel like a trap. I'm trying to figure it out as you talked about it. It is hard to take. I mean, but you look at the numbers, it's like, okay, well, these teams have kind of struggled all season. Crystal Palace have, before Roy Hodgson, they've kind of struggled a little bit to score. If you look at that Southampton game, they were actually outplayed in the first half and then turned things around, got 2 goals. Against Leeds, they were outplayed in the first half, got 5 goals, I think, or 4 goals in the second half, kind of a thing. Now they're at home, though, and the one home match under Roy Hodgson, for some reason, they absolutely dismantled Leicester City. Are they going to do that again? That's kind of what I'm leaning with here. So last 2 away matches, Crystal Palace have started slow. Now they're at home. I think they're going to start pretty fast. I think this is going to be up and down unless Sean Dyche just really wants to, you know, park the bus and kind of go for the score of this draw here. I mean, I know Everton need points, and maybe playing for the score of this draw will kind of do something after some pretty bad results, but I'm going over 4.5 corners in the first half. It's minus 110. We're both on the over train. So I think there's going to be goals. I think there's going to be corners. The question is what is Sean Dyche going to do here? And I guess if Amadou Onana is healthy, what is the team going to look like? They've gone with a 4-4-2 the last couple matches without Doucouré. Are they going to go back to a 4-5-1 and start someone like Tom Davies? We'll see. But, I mean, what we're looking at, we don't know the lineups right now. I think being on the over is the correct play. Will it be the right play? We'll find out. But I don't know. What do you?
Yeah, James Garner in the midfield doesn't give me a whole lot of confidence in Everton. Jaime Garner. but yeah, I don't know. I feel like I have no belief in Everton for obvious reasons. So I feel like, I don't know, I like love Palace in this matchup. I would smash the money line.
I guess you just look at it like Crystal Palace has struggled to score consistently all season. Everton, usually a pretty good defensive side, so it's going to be defensive. It's going to be 1-1. It's going to be 1-0, something like that. But, I mean, they've been scoring under Hodgson, and Everton have been allowing goals away from home. So why are the odds like this? I don't know. It's a trap. It's a trap. But we'll find out. All right. We got 2 matches on Sunday. Is it 2 matches on Sunday? Yes.
I believe so, yes. We got the Tottenham, Newcastle, and then somebody else.
Yeah, we got Bournemouth, our home against West Ham, but we're talking Newcastle, our home against Tottenham. So we got Newcastle minus 115 to win. Tottenham are plus 310 to win. Man, those are wild odds. Draw is plus 285. Imagine just looking at these odds, I don't know, before the season. or early in the season. Tottenham plus 300 against Newcastle. Kind of crazy here. But we got over 2.5 goals, minus 120, under 2.5 goals, plus 100. Newcastle trying to bounce back from the loss against Aston Villa. Tottenham trying to bounce back from the loss against Bournemouth. Is one of these teams going to bounce back, Chris?
I think it's Newcastle, personally. I watched that Tottenham game against Bournemouth, and it's just like I don't know. There's a lot of layers to Tottenham right now that I just have trouble believing in. I mean, there's just like the fact that they're. I saw that the ban for their general manager, essentially director of football operations. I forget what his role is, but he's still banned. That was upheld by FIFA again. There was the whole Antonio Conte thing, where he basically said this club has absolutely no, you know, they're never going to win anything. But and then they waited a week to fire him, and then there was the performance against Bournemouth where it was like they came back. Even that second goal, the equalizer to make it 2-2, that arguably could have been offsides. I thought, in my opinion, I was like Kane's for sure kind of blocking the goalkeeper, and then just like to let Bournemouth come down. I think Højbjerg just got absolutely, you know, diced for that third goal, and it was like no one was surprised. And so I don't know.
Not even Tottenham fans.
Yeah, no, not even. I got two Tottenham fans who are like, or two buddies who are big Tottenham fans, and they're like, this is honestly disgusting. Like, no, I'm not surprised by this. Like, expected. Like, and like the group chat's just going off. Like, this club, you know, like, what am I doing? So, I mean, that's like an emotional sense to this game. But also, like, when you look at it, Newcastle are a better team. They've looked better all season. They're super strong. I just like them a little bit more. I mean, I think Villa, obviously, that game was a big surprise, 3-0. But Villa's in a good way, as we mentioned. And I just think that Newcastle are going to be able to bounce back. They're at home. They can taste Champions League football. I don't know. I think that they're gonna be able to take Tottenham down here. But so that's why I'm actually taking Newcastle money line minus 115. For all the reasons I listed, it's less of like a statistical standpoint, more of like a man. No, I got no belief in Tottenham right now.
Yeah, Tottenham, I just pulled it up, away from home. Their last four matches, so it was 1-1 at Everton. They had the wild 3-3 game at Southampton. They had the loss at Wolverhampton where they kind of dominated, still lost 1-0, gave up a late goal. And they lost 4-1. They lost 4-1 against Leicester City, which is pretty funny. So you throw that in with Tottenham have been a better team all season, also coming off a loss and at home. So, I don't know. I don't know what Tottenham are going to do here. It'll be interesting here. We got Miguel Almiron came off the bench last week. Looks like he's going to be back here. Tottenham got Richarlison back. I'm not sure any of their other defenders are ready to go. But, yeah, it's just really hard to take Tottenham here. Plus 300. Doesn't seem like the best matchup for them. You know, a team playing off the counter just against a team like Newcastle that they're going to, you know, kind of dominate possession a little bit. And they have a left back in Dan Byrne who doesn't really get up the field very much. So they got a lot of support. In terms of just playing against counters and that kind of thing. I pulled up, what was the score against these teams earlier?
I was going to note this earlier, but in the reverse fixture at Newcastle won 2-1 away at Tottenham in October.
Yeah. So, I mean, Newcastle is winning at Tottenham. It just doesn't seem like the style of play it works well against Newcastle, and now they're on the road. So
it was Wilson in the 31st, Colin Wilson, and then Almiron scored in the 40th. And I mean, that's a big boost. If he comes back into the starting 11, he's probably not going to be able to go a full 90, but him and Bruno Guimarães and a couple other guys have really stepped up for them this season.
Two goals first half. Now Newcastle are at home coming off a loss. My bet, Newcastle minus 0.75 corners in the first half. That's minus 120. I tried to look at a few options here, so I didn't get in, so I'm not on another 0.75 bet. But again, if Newcastle have exactly one more corner in the first half, you get half your money back. So to get all of your money, they need two more corners. I believe that is correct. I always get confused with the 0.75s and the 0.25s, but not, especially now that I'm drinking, we got beers and wagers going on. But Newcastle minus 0.75 corners in the first half, minus 120. Pretty much everything what we just said. I think they're going to come out and they're going to put the pressure on and they're going to hit early corners. And what are Tottenham going to do? They're going to go off the counter. Is that going to lead to corners? Maybe. We'll see. But Chris is on Newcastle money line. I think we're on the same. We've been kind of on the same page for a lot of these matchups. I don't know if that's a good thing, but same page nevertheless.
Yeah. Also interesting enough. This is what time? This is an early Sunday one for me, so I have to catch the highlights here. But probably the best matchup of the weekend, aside from Brighton, Manchester United in the FA Cup.
Brighton, yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot. Okay. These games are during the...
Yep. Well, I think the FA Cup match is later, no?
Yeah, it must be.
It's 8:30 Pacific, so I don't know what the EPL match or the second EPL match is. Yeah, they're both at 6, so no, they are standalones.
Okay. No, they're not standalones.
Well, Sunday is, but Saturday is not. The FA Cup I'm talking about.
Oh, FA Cup, yeah, okay.
Yeah, sorry. Actually, no. The FA Cup match is also the Saturday one is also a standalone. They're both after the EPL games.
We'll sorry. Figure it out.
We're not confused at all. I swear.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data. And a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, so we got team parlay time, and what are we, 10 and 18 on the team parlay. Me and Chris are still above 500. It's up $738. I got the cheat sheet up for FPL. We don't really have any FA Cup content on the website, but we could look at depth charts, but it doesn't really matter. So, Chris, we're talking Manchester City here. We got Manchester City. Sheffield United. We got Steve talking in the chat. Haaland is minus 400 again. I believe he's
minus 400. I looked that up actually as one of my bet. Yeah, you mentioned this last week from Steven. But yeah, just crazy numbers for him. Yes, Steven,
are you taking Haaland minus 400? Or are you taking Haaland first goal scorer plus 160 on Haaland? What do you think?
That I would be more intrigued about. Absolutely. That's probably the only, like, the minus 400 is just too far gone. I think he scores, but I don't know.
Plus 110 to score two or more?
I'd rather take the first to score, I think.
Do you think if Manchester City score, like, three in the first half that they're going to sub off some guys because they have Arsenal, I think it's on Tuesday?
So Arsenal, and then I guess the Champions League is until, is that the semis are until May?
Yeah, it'll be the, I think it's the week after next.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think he probably plays, but I mean, I think he plays, but I think they'll go up early, and this is why I looked at both games here. I looked at the Man United and I looked at Man United Brighton. That was intriguing, but also kind of tough to tell because it's a short week, and I was kind of watching Man United par against Sevilla, and then I'm just like, well, why don't I just like go with the bet that seems to be working pretty much every time we talk about this team, and that's just Man United or Man City to dominate, and I actually ended up going for the team parlay here. My end of the bet is Man City -2.5 is -105. I look, you know, they're just playing great football. Like they're far. I honestly think they beat Arsenal next weekend too, but or next week, and maybe we discuss this a bit. But looking at the FA Cup here so far this season, they've been pretty dominant. The third round matchup was against Chelsea. They won that one 4-0. Of course, they played Arsenal, and that one was 1-0 back in January. They got a pretty favorable matchup against Bristol City in the fifth round. That was away to Bristol City. They won that one 3-0, no problem. And then the next matchup was against, I believe, Burnley is still number first in the championship right now. They just coolly handled them 6-0. And I mean, you look at that, like they've been dominant, absolutely dominant in the FA Cup. And they're going to face a Sheffield United team who's really had a strong season in this championship as well. But I just think that they're not going to be able to hang with Man City, just all the quality that they have, and the fact that like this might be like a 75% possession game for Man City, while Sheffield United try to play on the counter. So I'm taking Man City -2.5 here at -105, and even in a secondary bet that I looked at that was both teams to score. I feel like this might be a shutout here. Man City yet to concede a goal in the FA Cup competition this season. So, but sticking with the Man City -2.5.
Yeah, we're getting Steve's giving us some comments here. It seems like so a couple of their players, because they're on loan from Manchester City, can't play in this one. So you got a couple of their regulars can't play, McAtee and Doyle, I believe. And I believe those guys have been playing pretty much all season. McAtee, 33 appearances, 17 starts. Doyle, 29 appearances, 18 starts. So you got two regulars that can't even play for Sheffield United. They got here by beating Tottenham, if that says anything. And, of course, I got to mention Wrexham because everyone loves Wrexham. But -2.5 here is it makes sense. I mean, it's hard to go against it. Manchester City are just cruising right now. If they can beat Bayern Munich 3-0, they can beat Sheffield United.
I think so too, right? At Bayern Munich too, right?
Yeah, I mean, they beat Burnley. They crushed Burnley. They beat Sheffield United a couple weeks ago 2-0. Granted, Sheffield United had an early red card in that one, but still, they're 10 points above them in the table. So
it feels like they barely hit a jog, you know. The only time I've really seen them hit a sprint was that Arsenal game.
So my favorite bet for this one, I couldn't parlay it. That's the one thing. We're still early in the week, Thursday. I couldn't find a way to get an actual parlay on it because it wasn't an option in the single game parlay or in the irregular parlay. I wanted Sheffield United +2.5 corners in the second half. I think I'm going to take that one. If you want another bet, if you want a solo bet, it kind of relates to what I'm actually going to take here, but I got Manchester City under 7.5 corners. So this could blow up in my face here. Manchester City, we know they're going to dominate. They're probably going to have 80% possession. It could be a thing where they're just getting 10 corners in the first half kind of a thing. Or as I looked at the previous matchups against a team like Burnley, against a team like Bristol City, they had, I think it was two corners against Burnley, three corners against Bristol City. So against these weaker teams that they kind of toy with a little bit, instead of, you know, getting crosses in and have that leading to corners, they just, you know, kind of wait for the kill. They pass it around, get the great opportunity, score a goal. So when you're scoring goals, you're not getting corners. So that's kind of what I'm going with. You don't get as many saves either. So a lot of corners, you know, you get the goalkeeper making saves and going out for a corner kind of a thing. But Manchester City, against these smaller teams, like a championship team like Sheffield United, that's my theory, is that they're going to wait, find their best moment, get the goal, and they're not going to be taking shots from 30 yards out kind of thing that are going to lead to corners, not going to be crossing it that too often. I mean, granted, they'll probably cross plenty to Haaland. I should take that statement back. But Manchester City under 7.5 corners. That is -135. Chris is Man City -2.5 is -105. Combine those for a team parlay +239. Chris, what do you think about corners in this game?
I love how every week Adam makes corners. Like, we make our parlay bet together, and like, I check to see if my end, you know, did I hold my end of the bargain here or did I not? And I can't, I'm like, I got to go into rotowire.com. I got to go to the game log. I got to check into what happened on the corners. And if it's a half by half bet, I'm just like, all right, I'm just going to slack Adam here and see if it hit or not. But it's always funny. I'm like, yeah, oh, crap. Oh, I got to ask Adam if this actually worked. I can't even look. But yeah, interesting enough, the under 7.5 corners, I feel like this, yeah, I just see, like, as I mentioned, my best City going out or getting up early and then just kind of sitting back and it being like a training.
Yeah, as long as that happens, Sheffield United +2.5 corners in the second half also feels like a great bet to take. Of course, if it's scoreless going into the 70th minute, this bet's probably going to lose. So
yeah, totally.
That's the other part of it. So this is kind of a projection of how the game's going to go. But I mean, combine that with Man City -2.5. You almost think that those things combined is what will happen. But
yeah. Any thoughts on that Brighton Man United game? I mean, we didn't talk about that one, but that one.
Brighton slightly favored. Another surprising thing if you looked at that before the season. Bit surprising. Manchester United lost at Sevilla today on Thursday. But I was looking at Brighton to have more corners in that game. That was one of my other bets, but I wanted this Man City one. So, I mean, this is a big spot for Brighton. Can Brighton play in these big spots? I guess that's the question. They're favored here playing at Wembley. Do you think they can perform in this spot against a team like Manchester United? That's another question. Even though I like Brighton more as a team, I probably might just take Manchester United money line because it's Manchester United and Brighton really haven't been in this spot before. I mean, but recently.
Brighton money line, give it to me. What is that plus? Brighton have won last two matchups against Manchester United. Prior to that, they had drawn two and lost 15 of their previous 17 matchups against Manchester United. But yeah, I don't know. Brighton, I love this like little story of them. It's a big story of them this season. They've been so good all season long. I'd love to see them face City in the FA Cup final. I mean, it would be cool to have last year FA Cup final just for the storyline. But I think I would love to see Brighton make it through here.
Yeah, Brighton won 2-1 at Manchester United earlier in the season. But again, that was August. I think that might have been the first match of the season. And it was with Graham Potter. So there you go. Before we go, Chris, thoughts on Liverpool here, home against Nottingham Forest. I got a Liverpool bet in my article. Check that out, rotowire.com. How do you think this match is going to go, though? Also, what do you think what do you think about Trent Alexander-Arnold playing as a central midfielder now?
It's funny. I didn't even look at that game at all. Didn't even entertain the idea of betting on that game. Whatever. But they're playing that. I feel like he's gonna move into that like Joshua Kimmich role, where like former outside back steps into. It's been interesting because Konate has been really good out of center back. Joshua. I don't know. Interesting game, but I think they get it done. I'm not going to name names or blame anybody here last weekend, but I took Nottingham Forest double chance. And I just think they're going to get rinsed here by Liverpool at Anfield. Really cool article in the Athletic today about just basically like the Nottingham Forest supporters going to Anfield, and you know, forget how many years since Hillsborough, but you know, just like bringing some banners and stuff like that. A really good story in there. Two clubs that were involved in. You know, yeah, should be a good game. And I honestly, if there was a -1.5 or a blow, I would take it. Seems like they're after the win at Leeds and playing at home. I like them there, but this is like the first small amount of confidence I've had in them in a while. So let's see what happens. But sidebar here. Yeah, not to name names. We're not going to get into this, but somebody steered me off Man United -1.5 last week. But anyways, I'm fun weekend here in Seattle. I got Sounders tickets. They're playing Minnesota United on Saturday night.
Say that again. Who are they playing?
Minnesota.
Yeah. All right.
You know Minnesota?
Yeah, it's just the way you said it. You had like you pulled out the Wisconsin accent to say Minnesota.
Anyways,
let's get a bet. They're -170.
Sounders are -170. Sounders. I mean, they lost -170. I'm not taking that, but they did drop a 4-1 result to Portland last weekend. So, but I think I haven't even seen what Minnesota's been doing this season. But
Seattle -1 corner in the first half.
Adams Adroy's best bet.
I'm taking it.
Yeah, sure.
-115. Right. I'm taking it.
Anyway,
I don't know if they get a lot of corners or not, but we'll say Nicholas Lodero will have 5 corners in the first half.
Okay. Anyways, big weekend here. We got a Kraken. Seattle Kraken, they won game one at Denver. That was Tuesday night. NHL here, they won game one. They got their first home playoff game as a franchise on Saturday night. The Sounders are playing, and the Mariners are hosting the St. Louis Cardinals all at the same time Saturday night. I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be mixing it up in the city. There might be a couple more of these cold beers flowing. We'll see what happens.
Got some Hood River cold beers flowing.
It's still Seattle beers only on Saturday.
Michigan beers only always.
Okay. Fair. I'm an equal opportunity beer drinker.
You can find Chris at CHRON8 on Twitter. I'm at Rotos Adroik. Again, I'll try and keep this corner bet thing riding here and hopefully we can get four or five straight kind of things going and maybe we can turn this $10 into $1,000, something like that. Yeah. Lofty goals, but at one point I did get 25 bets right in a row. So it is possible. If you don't believe, just know that it's possible. But rotowire.com/soccertrial, free 48-hour trial. Chris, thanks for joining me here on this Thursday night. Oh my gosh, it's 10:13 at night. We got to get out of here, Chris. We went long. I got to finish this beer, I guess. I wasn't drinking fast enough, but good luck in your bets, everyone. Find us in the Discord. I'm just going to be betting. We're going to be betting. I'm going to be hanging out with this Steve kid over the weekend, and we're going to be making bets all weekend. And I think we're going to be winning money. We're going to be taking off Chris's bets, and I'm going to make 30 corner bets this weekend. I'll let you know what the record is next week. How about that?
I can't wait for the article.
There's no article. All right. Thanks, Chris. See you everyone next week.
Cheers.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.